This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and today's show, I'm gonna try to remember to give you a joke, because I had that email that said, what happened to your cute little animal jokes? She uses them on her grandkids, she wants me to keep telling them, so that's the second email asking me for jokes, so I will give you one today, and I'm also gonna give you a recipe, if we have time, for a frozen dog treat. That's so easy. Okay, but before we do that, we're going to talk to Dusty Rainbolt, my favorite cat author, author of Kittens for Dummies and many other books, including books about wrongful elimination. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They do that. So, welcome to the show, Dusty.
Thank you, Deb. It's great to be here. I always enjoy talking to you and your audience.
Thank you. Yeah, they love you. They love us. They love us together. So we're two cats that get along and we share well. So if you don't have cats that get along, if you have cats that don't share well or aggressive or difficult or there's just something that's not quite right, then you should send me an email because I will ask Dusty on a future show. But for now, I want to ask Dusty, what's going on? You just told me on the just before we came on air that you have been traveling in a cat traveling way.
Oh, well, of course, every time I go someplace, we have to find the cat angle, even though I may not do anything with it professionally. But we just got back from Iceland, and the people of Iceland love cats. And it was just such a fabulous experience. I was in the airport in Frankfurt, Germany, waiting for my flight to Reykjavik. And this lady had a T-shirt that said, the cats of downtown Reykjavik. And it's this cute little black cat, drawing. And I said, oh, that's awesome. Where did you get it? And she looked at me, dear cotton headlights. Of course, I didn't think about the fact that she doesn't speak English.
Right.
Like, I'm pointing at her chest and she's going, what? What?
Yeah.
But anyway, when we got there, there are cats everywhere. And the thing that makes this so joyful is these cats belong to people. They don't have a big stray cat or feral cat problem there. They're required by law to get their pets fixed. You can't bring animals from outside the island, outside the country, into the country. If you have a horse that you've sent elsewhere for breeding or whatever, or showing, they can never come back into the country.
Oh, wow. That's Hawaii used to be like that in Australia too, but they're different now. Whoa.
Yeah. But and so you walk the streets and there are these kitties and most of them are friendly. There are a few that are standoffish, but they're used to the tourists. And then you go into some of these boutiques and tourist shops. And there'll be a cat laying on a sheep's pelt, or they're curled up on top of the Icelandic wool sweaters that they're known for. And you go in there and you say, what's your cat's name? I don't know.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? It's your cat.
Well, I don't speak cat. How would I know?
Not my cat. And so what happens is the people in the morning let the cats out. They go to their jobs. They hang around in the stores or out in front of the stores.
Oh, wow. I would love to see like a little cat kitty cam on a collar, see what they do all day.
Oh, wouldn't that be hilarious? And you know, some of them are very famous. There's one called Bucktus, and he lives at this very fine ladies' boutique, upscale clothes.
God.
And he hangs out next door at the hotel, and it is just such a joy. These are happy animals. They don't have any problems. They're not hungry. They hang out with people because they want to. It's just such a joy. So if you are a cat lover and you want to do some adventure traveling, Reykjavik, Iceland, and then you can go see the volcanoes and...
Okay, so while you were there, I have to ask, did you see dogs? Did you see different kinds of dogs? Is it only Nordic breeds? Like, what's going on? If they don't let any dogs come in, is there a poodle or a doodle anywhere?
Well, they do have dogs. I saw a lot of terriers. But the thing is, it's kind of weird. Dogs were illegal in the 70s up until probably the 80s. And if you could get dogs, that everybody in your apartment complex had to approve it before you could get one. And
wow.
I know it's kind of weird now. Now it's not that big a deal, but you know, if you are confined to the population that's here, that does bring up some genetic issues and such. Because, you know, let's face it, neutering is a wonderful thing, but if you have very few genetic options, you know, where does that go? Eventually, you're not going to be able to get pets.
Well, they have the same problems with the human population there, too.
Yeah.
But now they have immigration.
Yep.
So that's why they do all those studies on those populations, because they're, you know, this is kind of off the pet topic, but it's related because you just made it related. In Iceland, if you're on a dating website and you meet someone, before you decide to get romantic with them, you can check to make sure you're not related. Because you should do
it's
that.
True.
Now, I'm not kidding you. This is like standard, because there's a really good chance you are, and you want to know first. So with the dogs and the cats and the neuter and the spay restrictions, it must be even more so. The population must be even more limited. So if you had a problem, you know, like epilepsy or whatever in a certain dog breed, you'd have a real problem, because you're not getting genes without that. So it's something to consider. Okay, well, we're going to go to break and come back. And I do want to say, you mentioned the person with the t-shirt, wondering why you're talking to her. If you wear a t-shirt with a slogan on it and you are walking in public, don't be upset when people stare at your chest and try to read what you've got on there. I get dirty looks all the time. And
hey, my eyes are up here.
I want to know. I'm not looking at your body. I just want to read the whole thing. And sometimes if you're particularly curvy, it's difficult. Some of the letters are lost, you know? So I may stare, but if you don't want that, wear a plain shirt. Okay, we'll be back after a break with Dusty Rainbolt on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I almost feel like I have to do a running segment, a Would I Lie to You segment. I need to get like Annie Lennox in the background, you know? Would I lie to you? Because I think they're lying to us again. So, have you heard, Dusty, about this whole avian flu thing?
Yes, I have. I've been kind of following it.
So, it's in Canada. There's a million birds have been culled in my area, and it hasn't spread to other animals yet. But in America, it's spread to some other animals, including cattle. And there's been some kids, some teenagers here, there, and everywhere who've gotten it. Not very many, but it has made the jump to humans. And so, there's a pet food out of Seattle, which has cooked bird and egg product in it, and it was linked to a bunch of avian flu cat deaths in indoor cats. So cats who are not getting bird flu from birds got it from this food.
There are a number of foods, but the ones I've read about that are the problem were raw. Are you sure?
I'm not sure, because that's what I'm trying to say. I'm getting all these mixed messages, mixed reports, mixed news. Some of it contradicts the other. I'm about to say. Then the officials came out and said there's no chance that the flu virus can go through eggs or meat and get to other species. And maybe they should be saying if cooked, but they didn't say if cooked. They didn't say that. They didn't say that. And so now people are being lied to. And I think we got to be so vigilant right now. Cook it. Cook it, everybody. Cook it. Don't buy raw food right now. Don't buy raw food.
This is absolutely not the time for raw cat food. As a matter of fact, I was preparing a chicken soup the other day, and our little Siamese mix Wigglebot was sitting there begging it. And I cut off little pieces. And then after that, I went, oh, that was not a good idea because it was raw.
Yeah, I know. And then what else are they lying about? How can they come out so quickly and say, this is okay, or this is safe, or it can't do this, or it can't do that? They don't know. It's H1N1 can do all kinds of things. Like, I hate being lied to. I want to be told the truth or the worry or the concern so I can be extra careful. I don't want to be, you know, placated with something that's false.
Well, you know, it's really concerning because I believe it was in Oregon. There was a large cat sanctuary and they lost like 20 cats.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like,
I mean,
lions,
big cats,
and
tigers.
They lost like a third of their cats and the rest are sick and they're trying to figure out what to do. And yeah. So, it does go through species and it can come through the food. And maybe they're going to have to cook that food too. I don't know. That wouldn't be ideal, but times are different.
Right. Absolutely. So I think right now, even if you are into raw and natural, I just wouldn't take that chance. I get these AVMA newsletters every day, and there are always these new cases. So
yeah, and don't think like, oh, well, I only feed tripe or I only feed beef or only. Well, if it's in the food chain now and they're believing this myth that it's safe and it can't go through species, then some of these species you're talking about may already have it.
Right.
So like, I think you're right. Now is not the time for raw, right? That's just basically do something else.
And I know people that swear by it and it's the most wonderful thing in the world. But you know, as I was feeding those little scraps of raw meat to my cat and I realized, oh, this is a really bad idea. I mean, it was too late. She'd already had it. But it's like, okay, so I have to be more vigilant and we're not going to be able to do this for a while, if ever.
Yeah.
I think people need to be informed. And if you do feed a raw diet, you need to really think about it because it could be a bad thing for your cats. And who knows if with COVID, generally people could infect their cats with coronavirus, but it didn't go the other way. People did not catch coronavirus from the cats. But yeah, you need to look at it and see, you know, search your soul. And which is better for your cat? Is it better to maybe change to something else for now?
And your dogs. Definitely do not be feeding your dogs raw right now because they can get it too. There's no reason, you know, a polar bear got it once. Like, it can go from species to species through food. We've clearly established that. And the same authorities who are saying, don't worry, you can't get it from food, is also saying, but don't let your children touch injured or dead birds. Well, if they can get it from touching an injured or dead bird, then they can get it from raw food that contains dead bird. Come on, people, or eggs. So 1 + 1 is still 2, everybody. So, okay, we're going to go to break. And that's our caution. And even if you might believe in raw food normally, please don't do it right now. Okay, we're going to go to break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. I've got a recipe. I've got a joke. Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio. PetLifeRadio.com.
You're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. And with me, Deb Wolf, and my guest, Dusty Rainbold. And, okay, so, because everybody keeps asking me for these jokes, and they're so corny. My kids are older now, and they just cringe when I do this. But here we go. Here's a riddle. How do you catch a unique rabbit, Dusty? How do you catch a unique rabbit? Well, I'm going to tell you.
I think that if I had 2 hours, I could figure it out, but I don't. So how do you catch a unique rabbit?
You catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it. Oh, da 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 da. I told you they were bad. But you know what? If you got grandkids or kids, you're going to get some mileage out of that
one. Oh, that's a dad joke if I've ever heard one.
Well, somebody has to tell them. Sometimes mine are longer and cuter. But, okay, so before we go any further and get chatting and get distracted, I'm going to give them that recipe. So if you're looking for something frozen and fun to give your dog, and maybe you have a banana or two that are like a little brown and you were thinking of making a smoothie or something with them, maybe baking them, or just a ripe banana will do it. So you take one ripe banana or two and you mash them. And you combine them with 2 tablespoons of honey. So you can see this is not a cat recipe because Dusty's told us in the past cats can't taste sweet. Anyway, 2 tablespoons of honey, 1/2 cup of creamy peanut butter, and 4 cups of yogurt. So make sure you pick good yogurt and good peanut butter, not the stuff with all the weird sweeteners or sugars or salts or, you know, healthy stuff, because we tend to feed our animals better than we feed ourselves. So there you go. 4 cups yogurt, 1/2 cup creamy peanut butter, 2 tablespoons honey, 1 or 2 ripe bananas. Yeah, and yeah, microwave the peanut butter for about 30 seconds, and then you just mix everything in a food processor, and then you pour it into an ice cube tray or a silicone mold, and you freeze it until it's firm, maybe overnight, and then you pop it out of the mold, and bingo, you've got guilt-free, yummy, yummy, yummy doggy ice cream. And I actually think I would like this, you know? Maybe a little sweeter, maybe, I don't know, maybe a little chocolate in mine. I think I would like this.
But not chocolate in the dog ones. Nope.
No, never chocolate in the dog ones, because dogs can't have that. So I remember years and years ago, one of the first times I was working for the province newspaper, and I was sent out to do this like report on this show because a few hundred people were gathered to watch. I don't know how they did this, but it was in a hotel and they had food, and a lot of veterinarians were in the room, and they were all gathered to watch these demonstrations by these dog food companies. And I remember this, the guy got up from Hill Science Diet. And since then I've seen this since, and it's not as shocking. But right then, I'd never seen anybody do this. And I introduce him. I'm on the microphone, you know, now from Hill Science Diet, here we are. And the guy comes out, and he's doing his demo, and he's talking away. And all of a sudden, he's trying to show the audience that his food is human grade. So he starts eating it. Yeah, he's got a bowl like it's popcorn, and he starts crunching on it. And I just couldn't hold it together because, well, first of all, it was so crunchy. You could see that this was like, that's made for dog teeth, you know, like this guy, crunch, crunch, crunch. It was difficult. And then, I mean, I all of a sudden thought I was being pranked. I thought I was in some kind of Monty Python skit. Like, this guy is eating dog food. And all the people are clapping and oohing and aahing and you know, looking over the brochures and taking his card. And I had to leave the room. I was laughing so hard. But this recipe, this one I could eat, this frozen yogurt. What about you? Would you eat that?
I would eat the yogurt, yeah. I would not eat the science diet.
So we've touched on it before, how cats are not vegetarian. What do you think about the meats and the meat-free cat foods that are coming out and dog foods?
Okay, it's ridiculous. Cats are obligate carnivores. They have to eat meat in order to survive. If a cat doesn't, they must consume a certain amount of taurine, which is only produced, well, mainly 99.999% produced by animal tissue, animal muscle. And there are some seaweeds and kelps that can produce it.
You know, I was once working in rescue in Florida, actually, and one of our mountain lion cats, Tasha was her name, was given to the rescue after someone had bought her to be like a showpiece on an estate
Of course.
and fed her cat food, right? Proper cat food, but cat food. And because this is a giant cat, it needs way more taurine than what's in a commercial cat food. So this cat was blind, and there was not going to be any sight for this cat. Like, that was it. It never developed proper eyesight, and it was going to be a blind mountain lion forever. But you can't just wing it. You got to give animals what they're supposed to have. Even though you may think you're vegetarian or you'd like the world to be a vegetarian place, it doesn't mean your little cat can handle that.
Well, and to finish what I was saying, if you really feel, I mean, and good for you, if you're vegan and you do not believe in that at all, then get a hamster or a bunny or whatever. But don't have a cat. Don't have an obligate carnivore and feed it food that's it's not intended. I mean, they have sharp teeth. They have sharp teeth. So that the teeth are there to tear flesh and break little bones and such, and they're not designed to graze on vegetation. So yeah, don't do that. Now they swear they I don't know that there are any studies, but some of these companies say, oh, you know, we have enough taurine, but how good of a quality of life is it if the cat is only eating this vegetarian stuff that's totally alien to them? And if it's vegetarian, vegan, then how do they process that? I mean, they can't process milk. So how are they going to be processing all this vegetation? It's not a good idea. And it's not humane. And I sure wouldn't want to clean those litter boxes.
Oh my God, no. So you touched on a myth there. People do think it's okay to give cats milk, adult cats, and it's not.
It's not. You really don't want to do that. They become, as they mature,
Explosive little things.
yes, they do. And believe me, you do not want to smell those farts.
Oh, there's an image. I'm glad I don't, I can't. Yeah, no, thank you. You know, for people out there who think that they can wait on spaying their cat, I think it's important that people know a kitten can get pregnant, and 64 to 67 days later, she'll have kittens. And a couple weeks later, she can do it again and again and again. So if you're thinking maybe it's time. Go get your cat spayed.
Well,
Go
if I
get your
can
cat neutered.
interject on that, you're absolutely right. And studies have shown that it's safe to spay cats as early as 8 weeks. I mean, they're itty bitty. They turn around, and the boys, you neuter them at 8 weeks, and they're climbing the cat trees. And you know, when you get them home, but cats can actually get pregnant as early as 4 months. So they, by the time they're a year old, they can have two litters.
I've seen a dog. I had a dog check in last year to the kennel who was a puppy, and she was supposed to be spayed, and her partner was supposed to be a neutered male. And of course, he had balls, so I knew that was the lie. But another, would I lie to you? Oh, yes, you did. Times two there. But she was pregnant. A month later, she gave birth, and she wasn't even an adult yet. Like, that's just terrible. So not okay, people. Dogs are supposed to be two before they have litters, and cats should be at least a year. And they just really, there's so many cats, you really don't need this. But I also get questions about the other end.
Can we go back to this? Okay. Another reason you should go ahead and get it done is because if you love your cat, you want him to be around for a long time. And if you spay a cat, or if you alter the kitty before the hormones start kicking in, you are preventing breast cancer. And of course, you're not going to have ovaries or a uterus, so you're not going to have those cancers. But the sexually associated cancers don't generally develop in an animal, a cat that has been neutered, altered before its first heat or before it reaches sexual maturity. So, you know, that's another thing. Save yourself some money because you won't have to pay for cancer treatment later on.
Well, and all the behaviors that come with reproduction, the wandering, the fighting, the messing, the marking, cats and dogs. You know, why, like, people think, oh, I'll just give her one heat. I'll just let her. Why? I'll have her one litter. And like, no, because now her behavior is kind of set. And now you have to fight against it, especially if you were already noticing problems. You know, when breeders decide who they're going to breed, they pick such, they have so many choices of who they're going to pick, and they pick the ideal one, the one that shows no aggression, no this, no that. You know, you pick a random dog and you start getting the hormones in there, and they're going to start showing problems. But yeah, I get questions also about the other end. Like, I just adopted this dog. He's been a stud his whole life, or she's had many litters. Is it fair to spay or neuter him at this age? You know, it doesn't seem right. Well, I recently got a 9.5-year-old dog neutered. And, you know, you think, well, 9.5 years, and he doesn't pick fights, and he doesn't have problems, and why would I neuter him? Because I did it, and I've noticed he's even happier than he was before. He doesn't need that on his plate. He used to cry and cry and cry every time a dog in heat was anywhere around, you know, which is spring and fall. And just for weeks on end, he would sit outside and cry to the universe. And he had other problems too that are gone, completely gone. He was always really social and happy and friendly and great dog. Now he's even better. So there's really no reason to wait. Like, if you are rescuing an animal later in life, take that load off their mind. They can't, as an older dog or cat, they're not going to be successful breeders anyway. They're just going to get beat up trying, or hurt, you know, or escape and get hit by a car. I mean, they're really, it's not, the odds aren't in their favor of having the Hugh Hefner life with the, you know, blonde triplets who are half their age or quarter their age. That's not going to happen for your dog or cat. They're going to get beat up. So you may as well neuter or spay them when they're older. And then, like you say, all of the less problems. You won't have the health risks, especially of the fighting and the car accidents. That's the big one.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I was watching TLC, which I love to do. I love to watch these 90 Day Fiancé shows where they show places all around the world and these crazy couples who get hooked up. So the latest one that has me laughing, because sometimes they're just these people. Oh my goodness. There's a young woman in Poland with her very trained but very fit Doberman named Hades, because, you know, it's not enough to have a Doberman. You have to give it a menacing name. And she's trying to date this American guy, and he comes over to meet them and everything. And she tells him that this Doberman bit her last boyfriend in the you-know-what. Yeah. Then she says, you must take him for a walk. So this is one of those TLC moments I just love. I'm just like, okay, buddy, you better walk that dog, and you better earn that dog's approval, and you better not cheat on her, and you better not do the dirty on her, because that dog has a record. So I just think sometimes television can be so funny. And sometimes I find I'm watching shows and the animals behave so atrociously, you know, that I wish they'd just call me, you know, like, this is one of those shows where it happens a lot on that show. So, yeah, if you're out there in TLC world and you got a dog problem or a cat problem and you want an expert advice, give me a call, because I'll be happy to deal with it. All right. So, Dusty, what do you want to leave people with? We're coming to the end of the show.
What do I want to leave people with? It's the new year, and we're all making these resolutions for ourselves. But why don't you make a resolution for your cat? It'll be a lot easier and a lot more fun. Just spend 10 minutes twice a day playing with them, and that'll do a number of things. The cat will be more fit, he'll be more healthy, and you'll have a better relationship. And it's okay. A lot more fun than getting on a treadmill yourself. So.
Well, and I would suggest you look at your watch or set a timer on your cell or something. So you're not playing for a minute and a half and thinking it's 10, right? And then the other thing, or playing for an hour and thinking it's 10. And then the other thing about that is, what about words? Like, I find my cats know a lot, and people are always surprised when I say come or sit or get down. Or do you want that? Shake a paw if you want that. And my cat will shake a paw, and they're like, oh my God, you really do read animals. No, they're just waiting for you to teach them these words, right?
Absolutely. Well, there was a study done in the last couple of years, and not only do cats know their own name and can respond, I mean, they may not do anything, they may just flick their ear, but there was a response to their name. But they also know the names of their companion cats and dogs, And they have a very good vocabulary of things they understand. And it's pretty amazing when you think about it, because if we were taken into a different culture, completely different culture, and the chief of whatever it is holds his hand up, what is he saying? How do we communicate with anybody, I mean, even human beings? And then the idea that cats and dogs can understand this, I just think it's almost miraculous. They are brilliant.
Oh, I do too. You know, I had a dog, Ginger, a standard poodle, and it took her one day to learn German. Like one day. She learned everything she knew in English. All the commands, come, sit, stay, John's home, go to the door, get in the car, everything in German, because her new owner's mom was home all day and spoke German. One day. Lie down, come over here, go sit here. I mean, I'm sure the lady was also doing familiar movements and there was a situational vibe to it, right? Like get in the car when you open the car door. But still, I would be fumbling around in German. And that's not a different species. If I went to Germany and someone was like saying, hey, do you want dinner? I would not, like, it would not come so easily, I don't think, you know? Yeah. And then you think about dogs and cats communicating to each other, reading each other's body language. But what about reading ours? Like, they read us so well. You know, try and catch your cat to give it a flea treatment, and you see what I mean. They know before you even think about it. They're like, oh, she's looking at that package. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here.
And I think part of that communication is the fact that we exude pheromones that we don't know about, because you think about it. You want to take a cat or a dog to an adoption event. We foster cats. And inevitably, before we go to a vet or take them to the adopt-a-pet or whatever, they disappear.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
They can sense that something's getting ready to happen and they don't want any part of it. It's just amazing.
Well, when I used to work with people and dogs, sometimes I would have to coach, especially with men, I would have to coach them to stop picturing the thing they don't want. And it sounds a little bit like, nee, 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 nee. What is she talking about? Is she actually saying the dog reads the person's mind? Well, maybe it's the body language. I don't know. But if the guy's thinking, don't jump on me, don't jump on me, you better not jump on me, as he walks over to the dog that likes to jump, that dog will jump on him. Because it's the only information it's getting. If he walks over to it, picturing in his mind the dog sitting nicely, and he thinks in his head, sit down nicely, maybe even says it, he's way more likely to get what he wants, you know? And I don't know if it's them reading our mental pictures or picking up everything else that goes with it. I think it is. I think dogs have telepathy. I think cats do too. I think they're picking up the pictures we're thinking about.
I absolutely agree with you. And you do the same thing with a cat. And I've started doing that with some of our foster cats. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's because it changes me or what, but they do seem to respond. And it could be that I'm changing the way I behave with them. But who knows? It's certainly, there's no downside of it.
No. And I do think when the person who's annoyed or afraid is focusing on the thing that annoys or makes them afraid, like jumping dog, pulling dog. I'm afraid I'm going to fall over. I'm afraid I'm going to look stupid. I'm afraid I'm going to look weak. I'm afraid I'm going to get muddy. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a true fear, like I'm scared he's going to harm me, but I'm scared I'm going to get hurt in this or embarrassed or tussled or whatever their fear is. As long as they're in that, and that's all they're thinking about, the tension on the leash, as soon as I touch the leash, these dogs relax. Like, I just say, can I have the leash? Boom, the dog's now different mood, looking at me like, what are we doing? Waiting for a different instruction, you know? So if you've got a dog or cat out there that's troubling you in some way, try to think about and actually picture it, like as if you drew a picture of this cat, that particular black cat or tabby cat or orange cat or German Shepherd or Cocker Spaniel or whatever it is. Picture that animal exactly as it is doing the thing you want. So say you want to pet the cat. Picture it winding around your legs, you know, and please email me, because please send me a message at deb@petliferadio.com, because I know I'm going to get a whole bunch saying, oh my God, it works, because it does work. Just picture what you want and you're going to get it. You're going to get it because they're like, oh, thanks for telling me. All right, everybody. It's been great. Dusty, do you have anything you want them to know about, new book or anything happening right now, website or something you want to plug right now?
Well, I am in the process of updating Cat Wrangling Made Easy.
Oh, that is so good, you guys. If you've got more than one cat, that's the one.
But let's see. Okay. If they're having elimination issues, kitties peeing or marking outside inappropriate places, we have Cat Scene Investigator, Solve Your Cat's Litter Box Mystery. You can get it on Amazon. And then my latest is Ghost Cats 2. And it's people's encounters with cat ghosts. And if you've got some stories to tell me, you can reach me through Deb.
Okay. That sounds good. So in that, somewhere along the line, when I was interviewing you for Cat Wrangling Made Easy, you gave me a tip, which was get the scent, not like from the store, but from the cat. Get the face scent of the cat on your hands and then touch the other cat and go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth if you want two cats to like each other. And I have used that hundreds of times now. Like so many ways, with a cloth, with a toy, with but use a sock and then put it in the room of the new cat and the old cat and then switch the socks. And then in particular, when I rescued two kittens, I guess it's 2 years ago now, Cheech and Chong. Oh, my God. Yeah, and they live up to their names. Cheech is so busy and Chong's like, hey, man, what's going on? He's got this big fur and Cheech is short haired, and but they're siblings. They look the same except for the coat. So anyway, so Cheech and Chong came and they were, you know, too early to be weaned, but the people, anyway, there was a disaster. They ended up here. And I had two older cats, one who's 5 and one who's 10. And I always thought that maybe older cats would not particularly like kittens, but the older one, it's like she thinks after doing that face trick you taught me, she decided around week 3. And again, people, you can't rush it. You got to take it slow. Separate room, separate this, separate litter, separate food, doors shut. But anyway, around week 3, she decided they were her kittens. She's never had kittens in her life. She's been spayed from an early age. But no, these are her kittens. Started to groom them and take care of them. And it was like my daughter was visiting and she's like, Mom, what's wrong with Ming Ming? Ming Ming was a nasty cat. And now she's licking and cleaning these kittens. She's like, why is she doing that? She didn't have kittens. She spayed. I'm like, no, no, she didn't. But she thinks she did. So the whole thing was a total success. And Zena, the 5-year-old, eventually adopted Cool Chong. And so now Chong and Zena are best friends. And Ming Ming likes both kittens. And two kittens have quite a good life. Two now. But I just wanted to say the stuff in that book, actually, it totally works. It totally works. You can have peace in your house if you read that book and you have feuding cats or cats who just, they're looking at you like, you're bringing in another one. Do you have to? Which is kind of the reception I got.
Well, you know, as I've said in the past, cats are solitary hunters. They did not evolve to be in a clowder. But if there are enough resources, food, litter boxes, they're spread out. They can function as long as it's not too crowded.
Yeah, and I was really surprised to see that the oldest cat is the one who really got the most out of the kittens. It was like a new thing for her. She just blossomed. She's not even miserable anymore. Like it was like her. It's like what she wanted all this time. I don't know. At first, she wasn't nice to them at all. She was her true self. And then after a while with some of your tricks, she just, it's like she's a different cat now. It's amazing to see. So the amount of entertainment, like she would sit somewhere and just watch the two kittens playing and wrestling and, you know, when they were small. And it was like the perfect pastime for an old cat to just watch as a spectator. I was really surprised that it worked out so well. Yeah, so thank you for that. And Cat Wrangling Made Easy, it's on my bookshelf. Not many books make it there because you know, I get so many sent to me to review pet books and they're all in boxes, but that one's there. So, okay, Dusty, thanks again for joining us on Pet Life Radio Animal Party.
Well, thank you for having me. I look forward to the next time and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Okay, ciao, meow, everybody. From me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party Pet Life Radio and Dusty Rainbow, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand.
only on PetLifeRadio.com.